Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading the charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search. Type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Labor Day. Labor Day comes every first Monday in September. What is it all about? Labor means to work hard. the hardest working folk in this country were the chattel slaves. That is how important labor is. They kidnapped the workforce. It also showed what extreme the economic elite will go to exploit labor. The goal is to spend the least amount of money to gain the maximum profit. Is that a fair concept? The truth is, somebody has to labor. Someone has to dig those holes, lift those heavy things, make that product, build those buildings, get those hands dirty or whatever. Don't they deserve a living salary? Especially if the industry is successful. As employers earn more, shouldn't the employees earn more at some point? I've always taken Labor Day for granted. Never thought it originated from a series of events that may not have had an impact on the lives of the descendants of the slave whose labor continued to be exploited at the time of and conclusion of these events. That's another story. Still, there is a story behind each holiday, and sometimes that story is a tragedy. Labor Day appears to be no exception. I'm going to get some, I went to the Bible for some references to labor. Genesis 3:19 says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So, the sweat of thy face refers to sweat from laboring in the earth to produce food. Most of us don't sweat because we're just simply eating. Okay, so we got, then we have Exodus 29:9-20:11. It says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. That is it. Nobody works, not even animals. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So according to Exodus, gave you 6 days of work, gave you 1 day off. Here the Creator gives that 1 day of rest. Traditionally, we get 2 days off from work, working a 5 day week. So I guess if you look at it in that respect, you're getting a break. But if you had to grow your own food, you're going to have to do what you have to do to make that all happen. Okay? Jeremiah 22:13 says, woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not for his work. Now, I guess there's a lot of that going around. Here we have a statement referring to the great sorrow and distress that will come to those employers who do not pay for the services of those they employ. So this labor thing has been an issue since recorded biblical time. I mean, those, they had a lot more stuff than that in there. I don't want to just go through the whole thing that they had in the Bible that referred to labor. But I thought those people were very interesting. Genesis, as you know, is in the beginning, Exodus, So the Creator appears to sentence man to labor in order to eat. So it sounds like labor is not a thing that we prefer to do. And, as we were talking about being mature the other week on the show, that as being a mature person, sometimes you have to do things that you don't want to do in order to survive, right? To get where you want or what you want. So, it sounds more like a punishment that man was sentenced to labor. So maybe that's why some people don't want to work. I don't know. Maybe some people are, not going to pick cotton and just do all kinds of work for, well, I guess especially for a small salary. And it's understandable why you would look for a job that pays you for your labor. I'm not saying that you should work for pennies or anything like that. But if you don't have anything, then that becomes an option. Anyway, slavery exists in ancient and contemporary times, even till this day. That's how long people have been taking advantage of the labor of other people. So labor is important. People who are laborers have power. Probably think you don't have power. We'll get into that to go, further on. Living in a society that is known to exploit the labor of people, it would seem that Labor Day would have some tragic origin, or at least to me anyway. I would look for something that happened for this day to have its origin. Let's be real about it. No one likes to labor. Historically, this country was built on the labor of the slave and poor folk, or self-perpetuating slaves. Is the Labor Day holiday pacification for those unfortunate souls who actually have to labor to put food on the table, or buy a pair of shoes, or whatever? Is it like celebrate the exploitation of people in the socio-economic arena? Is it like getting the old pat on the back, validation, recognition, a sign of appreciation? And who wouldn't appreciate a day, a paid day, off work? I heard people died and others were injured in the events that led to this Labor Day holiday. With the Civil War ending in just 29 years ago in 1865, before the event of Labor Day, labor continued to present a problem in the good old U.S. of day, especially if you were a laborer. The laissez-faire philosophy, that means in French, to allow, to do, let you do. I think I had a professor that said something to me, let the people do what they want to do, and in turn, they're doing what's best for society. I think that's the way one of my political science professors put that. Anyway, it encouraged little government interference in the economic affairs of individuals in society. It flourished in France between 1756 and 1778. The theory is business and society would be better off if government was less involved. How did that work? For some, great. For others, not so great. The disparity in wealth in the country speaks volumes to how well laissez-faire philosophy works and who it works for. Remember, the laborer is the tool that extracts resources, produces products, distributes, and purchases products made from the natural resources. The laborer is involved in total process. So if you're a laborer and you feel like you don't have power, just remember that without you, nothing's getting done because you're part of this economic. You just don't have ownership. But you do have some kind of power. Adam Smith is called the father of economics. He felt the purpose of government was not to make everyone equal. He didn't think everybody should be made equal, but to give everyone the freedom to make choices on their self-interest, which is very, very, that's very important. But I thought that was interesting, make choices on their self-interest, because everybody's going to make a choice based on their self-interest. But think about choices is that choices don't pay the bills. Choices provide options, and options are not guaranteed to provide the needs or increase the quality of life of the laborer. Self-interest includes the wealthy structuring economic system that grossly favors profit and exploiting the laborer. The option for survival for those who are economically needy is dictated by those who are in economic power. In short, you get to choose what crumbs the employer offers you, since not eating or having a roof over your head is not an option. Any option becomes an option of self-interest. Okay, because if you don't control anything, then you don't have that ability to make certain types of choices. Somebody's going to dictate the kind of choices you have because they have the power. They have control of how much money you make performing a certain job. Okay, so labor, I just want to stress again that labor is very, very important in this country. And we should never take it for granted, even Labor Day, because I guess I'm guilty of taking it for granted myself, just like everybody else. Oh, paid holiday. But you never think about, what happened that made this thing about? I guess we don't really care as long as we don't have to work and we get paid for it. Or we have a day of celebration. But I think we should know about the things that we do, what's behind some of the things that we do. So there's two stories behind the holiday. One from Union Plus. They say for over 100 years, Labor Day has been our holiday. Labor Day is observed on the first Monday in September and pays tribute to both the contributions and achievements of everyday working family. That's the little guy, right? The first labor holiday was celebrated on Tuesday, September 5th, 1882, in New York City, following the death of 13 workers during the Pullman strike in June of 1894. How is that possible? That's not mathematically possible. That must have been an error right there. I didn't catch that. Because it can be 1882. Well, I thought maybe that was the first holiday celebrated in 1882. So anyway, they said President Grover Cleveland put reconciliation with the labor movement as a top political priority, and Labor Day became a federal holiday and grew to become, a federal holiday in 1894. So the first Labor Day was celebrated in September 5th, 1882. President Grover Cleveland put his stamp on it in 1894. Not a mathematical error. During the major economic depression of the early 1890s, the Pullman Palace Car company cut wages in its factory. Discontented workers joined the American Railway Union, the AREU Union, right? Led by Eugene B. Debs, which supported their strike by launching a boycott of all Pullman cars on all railroads. That means if that thing traveled from the east to the west coast, boycott it. North to the south, boycott it. Okay? That's a lot of money law. This is one of the reasons why you have union. The AREU members across the nation refused to switch Pullman cars onto trains. When the switchmen were disciplined, the entire AREU struck the railroad on June 26, 1894. Within 4 days, 125,000 workers on 29 railroads had quit work rather than handle Pullman cars. That's power. The strike was broken up by the United States Marshal and some 2,000 United States Army troops sent by President Grover Cleveland on the premise that a strike interfered with the delivery of the U.S. mail. Okay? Because you can't, it's illegal to interfere with the delivery of the U.S. mail, right? During the strike, 13 workers were killed and 57 were wounded. There's your tragedy right there. That these guys fighting for better working conditions and pay. And 13 guys were killed, 57 were wounded. E-History, same story. Talk about the Pullman strike. They said that during the late 19th, early 20th centuries, Americans witnessed many strikes. Their causes varied, sometimes economic grievances, low pay, and especially long hours led to strikes. All right? That sound familiar to anybody? Economic grievances, low pay, and especially long hours led to strikes. Sometimes the conflicts were more subtle as managers tried to increase their control over the work process. Usually, the basic issue was the right of workers to have union and to engage in collective bargaining. To have a right to say something about, hey, I've been working here 10 years and I haven't got a raise. Something like that. And this company has grown from a multi-million-dollar company. I'm just using this example. To a multi-billion-dollar company, and I haven't had a raise in 10 years. I'm exaggerating, maybe not, but that's just the example I'm using. So that seems very unfair. Typically, strikes ended when the government applied its power against the union. I think what they call it, union busting or something like that. One strike in particular, the Pullman strike of 1894, was especially important in American perceptions of the labor problem of the time. The Pullman strike brought Eugene Debs national attention, and it led directly to his conversion to that other bad word, socialism. That's a bad word for a capitalist. It's like putting the cross up to a vampire. The events of the strike led other Americans to begin a quest for achieving more harmonious relationships between capital and labor while protecting the public interest. So they want a more harmonious relationship between capital, money, right? Labor, work, while protecting the public interest. Okay, the Pullman Company, owned by George Pullman, manufactured railroad cars, and by 1894, it operated first-class sleeping cars on almost every one of the nation's major railroads. That's a good look for him. The name Pullman was a household word. So he's making a lot of money. The company manufacturing plant where we're in a company-owned town. The company's manufacturing plant were in a company-owned town on the outskirts of Chicago. All right? I don't know if I have a conversation with Brother Kenny sometimes about collective economics and money circulating. That money right there is staying within this group of people before it leaves them. So it's helping them grow economically. That's collective economics right there. We got to trust each other. So at some point, somebody has to trust somebody, unite, and start duplicating some of these things except for exploiting people's labor. We don't want to do that. Anyway, Pullman publicized this company town as a model community filled with contented, well-paid workers. The Pullman workers, however, disagreed, especially after the onset of the economic depression that began in 1893. Now, during that depression, Pullman sought to preserve profits by lowering labor costs. When the firm slashed its workforce from 5,500 to 3,300 and cut wages by an average of 25%, the Pullman workers struck. They had enough. That was enough. That was, you're going to give me more work and you're going to give me and pay me less. Now, I asked that question. Was it fair to do something like that? And this is how people who have economic power take advantage and exploit the labor of those who do not. The American Railway Union, the ARU, led by Eugene Debs, was trying to organize rail workers all across the country. The Pullman workers joined the ARU, and Debs became the leader of the Pullman strike. I'm surprised he didn't get shot, to tell you the truth. The ARU enjoyed wide influence among the workers who operated the train. To bring pressure upon Pullman, the union asked trainmen to refuse to run the trains on which Pullman's sleeping cars were attached. The union told the railroad that their trains could operate without the Pullman cars, but the railroad insisted that they had contracts with the Pullman company requiring them to haul the sleeping cars. People want what they want, especially if they have money, right? The result was an impasse with railroad workers and around Chicago, in and around Chicago, refusing to operate passenger trains. They went on strike, right? The conflict was deep and bitter, and it seriously disrupted American railroad service. So, a lot of people were inconvenienced. That means Joe Blow trying to get cross country by rail, that wasn't going to happen if you don't have a bus or get a car and drive. The strike ended with the intervention of the United States Army, right? The passenger trains also hauled by mail cars. And although the workers promised to operate mail trains so long as the Pullman cars were not attacked, the railroads refused. Pullman and the carriers informed federal officials that violence was occurring and that the mail was not going through. Attorney General Richard Onley, who disliked unions, heard their claims of violence, but not the assurances of the local authorities that there was no uncontrolled violence, and arranged to send federal troops to ensure the delivery of the mail and suppress the strike. So it sounds like if you have money, you have a way to manipulate the government, right? And in this case, they use the law about you can't stop U.S. mail because I don't see anything in here anybody talking about paying anybody any money. Of course, you know, something did happen. The union leader dead was jailed for not obeying an injunction that a judge had issued against the strikers. Hey, get those cars gone, right? And they said, no, we ain't doing nothing. Dez went to jail. That's not unusual. So the events of the Pullman strike first. These events convinced Dez that the lives of American workers would never improve unless they controlled governmental power through their strength of numbers and elections. Hey, you're not going to be sitting on Capitol Hill supporting some stuff like what just happened to them, right? While in jail, Dez read writings by Karl Marx and other socialists, and after he was freed in 1895, Dez became America's most popular socialist leader. And I can remember, that's how I was saying it. That's a bad word in a capitalist system, society, or whatever. Any capitalist, they don't want to hear nothing about socialist people getting nothing, controlling anything, because that's counteractive to the laissez-faire theory that let people do what they want to do, and government have no little interference over that. But that's a big interference they have with the Pullman, because why don't they look over the whole fact that, hey, you guys cut the workforce, and then you cut the wages, and you want these guys to do the same work that of 5,500 guys. That's not right. Nobody looked into that, you know, or doesn't look like it anyway. It seemed like government was on the side of the people that had the money. Anyway, as a result, the Pullman reformers began searching for a new way of protecting the public interest in the face of the competing interests of labor and capital. So labor is the poor folks, capital is the rich folks. So who do you think is going to win that? Everybody got to eat. Who do you think is going to win that? You know what I'm saying? In short, competing interests of those who are exploited and those who exploit. The slave and the slave master. The haves and the have-nots. That represents two players on opposite ends of the economic arena. Problem. America's story, the first Labor Day. This is another story about Labor Day. This is by, who's this by? Oh, this is from America's story. Right. They talk about the first. If you could create a holiday, would it be called, what would it be called? What date would you choose for your holiday? Peter J. McGuire, a carpenter and labor union leader, was the person who came up with the idea for Labor Day. Even though some people say they don't know who came up with the idea, they say this guy did. These guys, American stories, say this guy came up with the idea. You know, he thought American workers should be honored with their own day. He proposed his idea to New York Central Labor Union early in 1882, and they thought the holiday was a good idea, too. With 4 long months between Independence Day and Thanksgiving, Peter suggested a month halfway in between. But what date should they choose? The very first Labor Day was held on, as we previously said, Tuesday, September the 5th, 1882, in New York City. The day was celebrated with a picnic, concert, and speeches. 10,000 workers marched in a parade from City Hall to Union Square. So that's not unlike what you see happening on Labor Day in contemporary times. We have the picnic, our big, you know, we have music. So, you know, we have electronic music now, so you don't need a band. You just get a guy with turntables and these big speakers, and you got your band. And I guess some people talk at some of their, events, Labor Day events. So soon after the first celebration, the holiday was moved to the first Monday in September, the day we still honor. Congress passed legislation making Labor Day a national holiday in 1894, right? That was Coolidge, right? Labor Day, they say Labor Day is not just a day to celebrate the accomplishments of workers. For some people, it is also a day to talk about their concerns and to discuss ways to get better working conditions and salaries. I think that's good right there, because that means that back to another conversation we had is about taking your free time and doing something with it. And I think that's excellent right there, to gather on Labor Day because of what Labor Day is. Actually, is not simply because it's a day off and we throw picnics on this day. Actually, it's to gather because knowing what Labor Day is, gather and have a purpose there to discuss the condition of labor and salary. I think that's very important. I don't know if I've ever been in a Labor Day event where that took place, where people were actually discussing in a constructive way getting better working conditions and salary. And I think that's something that needs to take place more often. But you need to know what you're talking about, because we don't know. You don't want to go into it blindly like that. Now, that seems like a perfect reason for taking a day off work to discuss that. Better working conditions and salary. Hey, and I'm not saying that we don't deserve a day off of work, a paid day off of work, because we work most of the day, half of our day we spend at work if you're working. And that's a long time to be away from your family, 8 hours, 7.5, or whatever it is you do, because you got to get there, you got to get home. So that's a lot of time. Especially if you had children, you're really taking away from the lives of your children. A long time ago, your children lived in the house, the food outside, and just about everything you did was just right outside of your house, right up to burying your parents. Now we live in a different type of socioeconomic environment. So that really seems like good. To me, that seems like a good idea. Maybe we need to start having these conversations about work and speaking with all people and who are a part of labor unions and see if we can improve. What can we do to improve the salaries of people who've been working without getting earning a living wage increase for years and things like that, who've been working on a job for a long time and just their salary doesn't reflect it. They have the same salary as the person who's been there 5 years, the person who's been there 30 years. That seems just not right. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like somebody really, either they're saying that you really don't do anything or you really don't deserve anything either. Both of those things are the same thing to me anyway. But, should be some kind of something regulating how people get paid anywhere. So history. I checked out something on history about Labor Day. Oh, we have a caller. Hold on for a minute. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Well, how you doing? When you look at the UAW years ago, the negotiation for wages and benefits that they had is said to have really crippled the auto industry. And the auto industry dissolved what they had and came back with something different. Wages was a lot less,
right?
But yet still it was still substantial. In the construction industry, commercial construction, those workers, they are paid very well, upwards of in some states over $100 an hour, depending on the trade, like iron workers.
Wow.
And they have annuities and they have pensions after, you know, after they get done working.
Right.
So those are very lucrative positions in commercial construction, electricians, pipe fitters, cement fitters, laborers, carpenters. And I don't think that you're going to see labor unions much more beyond, you know, those areas. Teachers unions, for instance. Teachers unions,
right.
I think they're going to come to an end. Because the product that they're putting out is not enough. It's nowhere near the performance, whereas the young people can compete on a world
right.
scene. And now you have people demanding the ability for them to take control of the resources that's expended per child, where they can put their child where they think is best for them to go along with their overall educational goals.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've seen that. Yeah. So you say that the labor unions actually almost broke the auto unit, the auto industry?
The UAW. UAW.
UAW?
Yes.
Okay.
They had all kind of benefits. They was paid when they was off and so on and so on and so on. And sooner or later, you know, just became overbearingly.
Right.
And they had to restructure, which they did.
Right. Did they restructure it with the union or with somebody else? How did that work? How did they do that?
Well, they restructured with the union. Now, you had plants that closed.
Mm.
And, of course, they would provide for the workers to take up a different trade, a different occupation. They would pay for the training. But eventually, plants that closed, workers didn't have jobs. Like Chrysler closed a lot. Ford closed a lot there in the St. Louis area. And now, you know, you're starting your salary at an auto plant is probably $18 an hour. Where in the past, you know, you could get paid upwards over $30 an hour after a period of time.
Oh, so this is sustaining. They lowered they cut salaries.
Well, yeah, they cut salaries, and they probably done some other things also. I'm familiar with the construction industry. I'm not familiar with the in-depth operations of automobile manufacturing
right.
plant.
Right.
So that's what the future is going to bring.
Wow.
You know, in talking about African Americans, to be such a small number in the population, 13%, you have a super small number of the people in that ethnic group that you find in these areas of very, very high lucrative pay,
right.
especially in the sciences. And you know why that is, don't you?
Education?
Because they don't direct their children intentionally into those areas.
Right.
Let me give you an example. The Indians, and you know, people talk about all blacks. There's no, you know, there ain't no such thing as the all blacks. Let me give you an example. The Indians, they control a very large segment of the hotel industry in the United States. It was reportedly that they control about 28,000. Which produce a revenue of close to $130 billion a year. Now, this is a social group from India that's from an area, and they call themselves the Patels, generally due to relationship, either family or from a town called Ugu Rarey, R-A-R-A-Y, I believe it is. And they come to the United States. Actually, I think the first guy got started during the internment of Japanese during World War II. And it was a Japanese that owned a hotel in Texas. And as he was getting ready to get confined, he sold it to an Indian who came out of the Caribbean, worked his way through Mexico, was in Texas, and he bought it for $250.
Oh.
He was a patel. Yes. And that sprung on to become what they are today. So that's what goes on. And I'm a person who promotes looking at industries and directing your children into those industries.
Right.
And people say, well, blacks need to be more business owners. Well, hell, you can't be a good, effective business owner if you don't know nothing about the business. So you got to work for somebody.
Right.
And everybody can't be a business owner.
Right.
But if you're going to hire your own, Hispanics hire their own, Asians hire their own, right?
That's right.
So if you're going to hire your own, you want to have the highly educated people that's working for you. So that education is a plus.
Right.
Right now, black college students are overrepresented in low-paying majors. And that don't make no sense.
Right.
And that, and a lot of it comes from the society, the parents, and also the culture.
Right.
Yeah. So what are you gonna, what's going to have to happen? Can you tell me?
Well, we're going to, like you said, we're going to have to open the door, the other door of opportunities for our we have to direct the education and the view of the black student. You have to say, there are other things that you can be, that you can look forward to doing, and this is why. Now, you just can't, I don't think you just tell them that. You have to tell them why, because the why always helps someone on their journey. It's good to know why you're walking to the next block, not just that you were directed to walk to the next block. You understand what I'm saying? So the why will strengthen them, and if you could show them why it's important to do that, which you kind of just did, you know, basically in short. But I think we need,
let me give you another reason. See, you got 15 minutes, I think. Yeah, 12 minutes.
Yeah, you got time.
Let me give you another good point. Now, you hear how, and I'm talking about black Americans, black and African Americans, okay? You hear a lot of voices. And see, I don't like to use the word we because it's not no conjecture of people. Everybody is different. And you get the we when you have a number of people that comes together for a particular thing, like the Masons, for instance, or another group. But anyway, when we hear people talk about how, for instance, Africa, all Americans and Chinese, the Chinese are stealing or recolonizing Africa, or America, the United States is exploiting Venezuela or another country.
Right.
Well, that is not the government that's doing that. That is U.S. business people by which you could be one yourself.
That's true.
That is not Congress. Those are business people that use politics in a way to make things work out favorable for them, which you could do yourself also.
Right.
So if you're complaining about the resources, well, where are your black geologists? Where are your black biochemists and chemical engineers? Because all those are needed in order to extract and process minerals,
resources,
i.e. resources.
Right.
If you don't have none in school, in college, and starting them off early, take your three-year-olds and take them out to the riverbed and show them this, pick up rocks, so on. If you're not doing that to them, then you're not going to produce them.
Right. That's a good point.
That's an excellent point. Now, where do you start at? You, with your kids, your grandkids, and siblings, nieces and nephews. A church. Put in the basic learning environment, study environment, workshop environment for young people of the church. The U.S. Department of Labor said there's going to be a shortage of commercial pilots. Okay. We're talking about flying airplanes, avionics,
mm-hmm.
and learning the principles of flight. That's something that can be done on flight simulators in a basement or in your house on a computer. Or you
right.
can make it a little bit more elaborated and set up each simulator with the screens and so on, so on, so on. Companies like Boeing or Lockheed Martin would assist you in that. You know why? Because they don't want to need the pilots.
Right.
So if they short 400,000, should you not be preparing your young people for that?
That's right, to fill that hole. That's right, correct.
And get to the point where you dominate it. Yeah, so anyway, I just wanted to put that out there.
Hey, I appreciate that. That was a hell of an insight to the, you know, what black folks can do. I guess anybody could do it, but we mentioned about all African Americans and
anybody can do it.
All right.
Yeah, African Americans are not represented to the extent they should be. That's a fact. It's sad to say, but it's a fact. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
But it takes a lot of work, dedication, and above all, sacrifice in order to change things around. All right, I'll let you get back to your show. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, brother, thanks. Thank you for calling in.
Sure.
Thank you. All right, y'all. See, that was some excellent insight right there. I hope that reached the ears of someone and a light bulb went off and many light bulbs that go off from the brother's commentary tonight. So labor is very important. And one point that he made is that, you know, when you do labor, you want to get paid for the labor. So that depends on what job you choose, what jobs are open, and what job you choose to be employed in. Is a low-paying job issue? That's not helping the economics of the black or African Americans. Or if you want to look at it for anybody, it's not going to help your economic situation, your economic condition, and it's not going to greatly increase your quality of life, which helps you create more economics if you were able to do that without some of the stresses like going into debt. You know, borrowing, creating more debt, things like that, because you got to make your money work for you. Money's not just made for you to get a new pair of shoes. Right? And just having that conversation also turns about you work a job and you spend your money. If you're doing that, that's almost like throwing it out the window. Find a way to make it work for you. The money that you do have, you know, find a way to make it work to grow. So you have $100, try to make two. You have two, try to make four. You know, look for something else you can do. And remember that your labor is important. And that's my point for today. Your work is important. And as the brother said, the work you do, choose to do, is going to have an impact on how much of an impact your work is going to have on, in this case, conversations with African Americans or anybody, any group that you might belong to. Collective economics, as you see, goes hand in hand even the union, the idea of a union is the collectivity there, that we're going to impact on the economics of whoever to get what we want, and, you know, because that's what happened with the Pullman situation. To get what they wanted, they impacted on the economics of the individuals that worked for them by cutting the workforce and paying them less money. So we have like 6 minutes left, and it was there were many riots behind this, all this labor thing, but that labor seemed to be an ongoing problem, period. I guess since people started claiming the natural resources and being able to hire people to do work, whether it was for bartering or whatever, labor seems to be, it's very important, and you do have some power. So they said many of these, you know, strikes turned violent, including the infamous Haymarket riot of 1886, in which several Chicago policemen and workers were killed. Others gave rise to the longest standing traditions on September 5th, 1882. 10,000 workers took unpaid time off to march from City Hall to Union Square in New York. You know, that's the Labor Day. So, holding the first Labor Day parade in U.S. history. Okay, so we have an issue in this country with labor, but I mean, no one should be surprised about that. And we really need to think about, you know, working together, how we can improve our work situation and create your own job. Don't forget about that. Labor Day is still celebrated in cities and towns across the United States with parades, picnics, barbecues, fireworks. I think I hear something outside now. Displays and other public gatherings. For many Americans, particularly children and young adults, it represents the end of the summer and the start back to the school season, which it does. Okay? On the lighter side, some things about Labor Day. Labor Day is one of the least recognized, forgotten about until around the corner holidays of the year, one that we seem to appreciate only after realizing it affords us a 3-day weekend come September. Here, 7 tips that you probably never knew about Labor Day. I'm not going to go through all 7 of them. Well, anyway, on that Tuesday, 10,000 citizens marched for labor rights. You just read that, right? Most countries celebrate International Workers' Day or May Day. I didn't know May Day was an international springtime festival honoring workers. Labor Day causes some of the longest working hours for retail workers. That's ironic right there. Like the day, Labor Day, you know, you're going to work some long hours on it in retail. Hopefully those guys get overtime and it's worth it. And it's the second most dangerous holiday weekend to drive on U.S. highway. And with that, I just want to say, if you're fortunate enough to have a paid vacation or fortunate to be able to enjoy the day of celebration, remember the series of events that led to this Labor Day holiday. Don't be afraid to discuss labor relations while taking down a hot dog burger or two. It still deserves our undivided attention. Drive to stay alive. And watch out for the other guy. On the light side, I hope everybody had an interesting Labor Day. And, you know, you ate, you drank, and you were merry. Until next week, thank you for listening in. Thank you, caller, for calling in. And everybody, each one reach one, each one teach one. See you guys next week.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29th District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.